that you give me grace to glorify your name. Father, and just whatever you would have me say, God, I pray you'd establish my thoughts. Father, give me clarity of mind. And Lord, give me the gravity that is to be fitting, that is becoming of a preacher. Lord, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 11 tonight. John chapter 11. Thank you, Lord. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. This story, chapter 11, begins with worship. So notable was this moment, so incredible and almost perfect was this moment, that it is recorded right here in the beginning of the chapter. In other words, when John was penning this chapter, the Holy Ghost brought it to his mind. Before he could say anything about this particular story, he had to mention, this is that Mary which humbled herself. This is that Mary that so experienced the grace of God and so experienced the goodness of God that she got down on her hands and knees in front of everybody, totally lost every bit of dignity that she had. She didn't care what anybody thought of her. She wasn't worried about what anybody had to say. But the Lord had so moved on her behalf. The Lord had so done such a marvelous work in her life that she was now crawling on all fours, crawled over to that Nazarene, crawled over to the old carpenter from Nazareth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there anointed his feet with that costly ointment. She gave all that she had because the Lord had so moved on her behalf. And you know, when the Lord does an incredible thing for his people, they should build an Ebenezer. They should build an altar there. They should do whatever comes to mind, whatever God lays on their heart. No matter what it is, they should build an altar there and they should worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The incense of faith just rose up off of her. And I know that I'm not going to get through this whole chapter, but most of you know the story. Lazarus was sick, verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They sent out the message. They tried to get a hold of the Lord in time, and no doubt they were frantic. Lazarus, Lord, you love Lazarus. You know this man. You know your closeness with Lazarus. And Lord, we need you to come back. Lord, we need you to move on our behalf. We need you to come and we need you to fix this situation. But as you know, the Lord did not come in time to save him. He didn't come in time to heal him. And as you know, they experienced the loss of Lazarus. Many of you, no doubt, like me, when you come down to rubber meeting the road to some circumstance in your life, and it can't be fixed, and you're on your knees and you're begging God to do something about it, but God doesn't show up, and God doesn't do like you think he's going to do, and God doesn't fix the situation, and it just gets worse. But you've sent out for God, you've called on God, you've done what the Bible says to do, you've trusted him with all your heart, but the Lord doesn't show up. Verse 4, Jesus heard that. He said, this sickness is not unto death. The messenger has made it to Jesus. And Jesus, the prayer, if you will, has made it to Jesus. When Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I'm glad that I can say with all speed, and I'm glad that I can say with all authority, that the pen of God writes stories better than anything that we could ever dream up, than anything that we could ever imagine. And there in the midst of impossible circumstances, when the pen of grace is moving, when the hand of God is moving, you have to learn that God is not going to pen the story like you think He's going to pen the story. He's not going to do in your life what you think He should. He's not going to do it the way that you've dreamed up in your mind. No, He has a better way of doing it. No, He has a better way of illustrating His grace and His power. And my friend, you ought to just go ahead and mark it down that no matter what happens in your life, you ought to trust Him. No matter how the situation is playing out, no matter what, you ought to pin it down right now that the way Jesus is going to write your story, it's going to be more glorious. It's going to be better. It's going to be more fulfilling. No matter what you have to walk through to get to your destination, look what Jesus said. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. The principal thing in the life of the believer is always the glory of God. It's always about Jesus Christ. The principal thing is Jesus is always about His Father's business, and He's always about the glory of God. It's that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Whatever God has called you to walk through, whatever difficult circumstance, Peter said, don't think it strange considering the fiery trial, which is to try you. Is this some strange thing happened to you? No, it is a child of God's story. It has trouble. It's absolutely going to be full of trouble. But hallelujah, the child of God in the name of Jesus Christ always gets the victory. They always triumph. They always overcome circumstances. But it's never going to be in a way that you expect. He's not tame. He's not in your box. He's not in mine. And I can tell you, there's a spiritual trash can in my life, and it's full of all the various stories that I have written and all the vain imaginations of my own thinking and how God was going to do this and how He was going to do that and how He was going to do this. How did he handle this situation? Verse 5, Jesus loved Mary and her sister Lazarus. I'll come back to that verse. And when He heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Jesus heard the prayer, if you will. Jesus got the message. The situation is dire. Lazarus is going to die. Lord, if you don't do something, if you don't move on my behalf, Lord, this whole thing's coming unglued. What did he do when he heard that? He dropped the anchor and he said, we're not moving. We're not doing anything. Stop. Please come and help. No. That's how Jesus works. He does all things well. And that means if you're on Jesus' side, you're one of His, then when you got saved, you determined that no matter what, you were living for the glory of God. And Jesus will on purpose wait until the situation is absolutely impossible. He will wait until the burden is so heavy you feel like you're being crushed. But oftentimes that burden comes because of our reluctance to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as if we believe, I'll speak for myself. It's at times I begin to entertain the flesh and the devil, which tells me that ultimately God might shortchange me. You ever begin to think like that? You see here later in the story that Mary and Martha, they both said the same thing. Lord, if you'd have been here. Lord, if you'd have come. Lord, if you'd have moved. Lord, we called on you before he died and you didn't come. You didn't do anything. And Lord, we saw where you did it for this person. And we saw where you restored that situation and you fixed it. But Lord, you didn't do it for me. And we saw over here where you helped this person. You did the impossible and you moved right on time, Lord. But you didn't do it for me. And Lord, well, last time you were here, you remember, and we talked extensively. And Lord, we knew who you were. We knew you were the Son of God. We believed on you, Lord. We received salvation. We got saved the last time you were around. But Lord, we had full confidence, and we still do. We know who you are. We know that you command the stars and the seas, and that the seasons, they move. They move when you say so, and the sun comes up when you say so, and the lightning goes forth when you say so. Lord, we know that you are very God. But if you'd have just come, if you'd have just done something, my brother would still be here. Look in verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Jesus don't love everybody. Sorry. He loves everyone in the sense that he sent his only begotten Son to die for the sins of the world. But understand this, there are Esaus in this world. God doesn't like them. God said, Jacob, have I loved? Esau, have I hated? He thought that I wasn't worth more than a bowl of food. God said, that's an abomination to me. But there is a group of people. There is a group of people that have so trusted God, they have so put their confidence in God, that they fit right in verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They know that they are in that special place of favor with God. You ever been in that place where it seems like prayer is your very breath? It seems like the Lord is right there, and if you could just reach out, you would touch him. The very presence of God seems to be there every single time you hit your knees. But then there comes a season, then there comes a time in your life when Jesus is nowhere to be found. And it seems right when the door of experience closes and you don't feel Jesus like you used to feel Jesus, guess what? That's when everything goes wrong. That's when everything gets harder. That's when the difficulty gets turned up and the heat begins to get turned up and things begin to go south and you don't understand why. And people are looking at you kind of like Job's friends, like, what in the world's going on with you? Why is everything going wrong with your kids, your marriage, your this, your job, your money, your life? Why is everything going wrong? And you go to God more earnestly than you ever have, but you can't get a hold of him. You can't find him. He has shut the door of experience and he's no longer speaking to you. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was in this place, and most assuredly, they were in that place where they knew that they were in the good favor of God, but they couldn't. They felt as though, as they sat there and they watched Lazarus die, they couldn't get a hold of Jesus. Just because you can't hear him does not mean that he is not there. And when you get into some of the harder classes, when he has purposed to do something in you that's eternal, when he has purposed to fix some sin or some character flaw in your life, it will seem as though God draws back. He quits giving you the milk of those feelings. He quits giving you the milk of all these various things that you put your confidence in. You put your confidence in the fact that you feel something when people sing. And you put your confidence in the fact that you feel something when somebody's preaching. But then there comes a time when you stop feeling things and you have to think. You're going to have one thing. When you're watching Lazarus die, so to speak, when that kid's not getting saved and that situation's not getting fixed and you believe God has told you that he's going to do this or he's going to do that and he's going to do this, but it doesn't happen. You're going to have one thing to trust. And when the child of God does it, it is so glorious. There's nothing like it. Ready? I can't feel anything. I can't see anything. Nothing's changing. Everything's getting worse. But then, when the child of God makes a decision, right then, I have nothing to stand on except the fact that I know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. I know who he is, and I know that he is kind, and I know that he has not left me to myself. There will come a time when the only thing that you have is the good character of Jesus Christ. And when it comes down to it, you better be ready to stand up and say, come hell or high water, I know my Lord Jesus is for me, and that he loves me, and that he died for me. And that, hey, this story began with worship. And hey, the middle's kind of ugly. And it's full of doubt and it's full of darkness. But understand the end of the story. It ends with worship. Chapter 12. Mary's on the ground. I got 4 minutes. Chapter 12. Mary's on the ground with a handful of hair. Just a couple of days ago, she was weeping and freaking out. Lord, if you'd have been here, everything would have been different. And just a few verses later, there she is on the ground, weeping with the hair of her head in her hand. And I believe with every stroke, next time I'm going to trust you, Lord. Next time, I'm going to stand on your character. The Lord said later on in this chapter, he said, I'm glad that I didn't come and do it the way that you wanted me to do it. I'm glad I didn't write your story the way that you wanted me to write it. I let it get really hard, and I let the heat get turned up on you, and I let you stay there in darkness for countless weeks, months, years. But when he finally does do something, it's final. He settles it once and for all. And you'll spend the rest of your life thanking him for what he does for you. With every stroke of her hair, thank you, Lord, for not fixing my life the way that I wanted you to. Thank you, Lord, for turning up the heat. Lord, it didn't feel good, but thank you, Lord, for doing it. Aren't you glad the Lord is patient with us, walking through the various valleys of life? And every once in a while, he shows up in such a way, no one can deny it. The Lord Jesus, that was him. And when he does that, and he does it for all his children, all of them, no exceptions. Even the disobedient, said the psalmist. I find hope in that. He even does it for the disobedient ones. He comes and he flexes real good, and he shows you just how capable he really is. And you spend the rest of your life thanking him.